As soon as I stop worrying, worrying how the story ends, when I let go and I let God have it.
Hi guys, welcome back to the Let God podcast. It's me, Wanipa.
Me, Mary Hannah.
Me, Aifa.
And today is our season finale. Yeah, we finally made it to the end of season one of the Let God Pod. Thank you for everyone who's been a real rider and stuck with us this far. It's our 10th episode and the topic this week is our personal testimonies. But before we get into it, we're going to open with a word of prayer.
Yeah. Dear Lord, we just want to thank you for another time which we get to talk to you and talk to our listeners and share our testimonies, how we came into the faith. Lord, we pray that you will use this to just inspire other people, to encourage and to just share our faith to whoever's listening. Father Lord, we know that you love all of us. We pray for those that are feeling distant from you at the moment. We pray that you'll just hold them close and let them feel your love and your grace. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So yeah, we just wanted to round off the series on a nice personal note because we know you guys have showed love to our episodes that have been really raw and personal. So we wanted to talk about our experiences coming to Christ, just kind of hopefully to encourage people and just to show the way that God has, you know, done amazing things for us. And hopefully you guys can relate, and we hope that, you know, some of you are inspired, and we ultimately pray that God works in your lives too, the same way he has for us. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to basically kick off with a few questions. So I'm going to start with a basic one. Guys, when and how did you become Christians, basically? Who wants to kick us off?
I think I can start. I feel like I always start.
Okay. So I've been to church since I was a baby. Like, literally, my parents didn't even take the, you know, the recommended amount of time that you keep the baby at home. They did not do that. They took me to church. So I've been in church for a long time. I've been singing in the choir, ministering and all of that. Aww. But I think when you're young, you kind of understand it. And they're just things that you know, like you pray, you sing praise and worship. But I would say when I properly, like wholeheartedly and with understanding, gave my life to Christ or became a Christian was in year 9, I think. I don't know if you guys know of the like massive Christian concert with like ministers. It's like a whole weekend of things called Passion. So at this time, I found it randomly on YouTube. And then I would stay awake until like 2 a.m., 3 a.m. on school days to like watch it, because of the time difference in America. And I don't know who was preaching. I think maybe it was Louis Giglio. Is that how you say his name? It was either him or Matt Chandler or John Piper, one of them, was preaching. And then I really felt touched. And it was, that was like the moment. I was like, yeah, I really want to do like this God thing for real, with like my full understanding and things. And like, obviously, further then, it's like been up and down with my faith. Not like I've been off, but it's just like sometimes you feel stronger, sometimes you don't, sometimes you kind of feel lost in the world. But I think something that kind of always kept me grounded, as bad as it may seem, of like, I'm doing all of these things for God, like why would I not go the whole mile and trust in him fully and do what he asks fully, when like there's still some things that are expected from me, just like in my family, because I still have to go to church. Like, what's the point going to church when you don't believe? That's just wasting your time, right? Ultimately. Yeah. Right. So I think that was my faith journey. It's been, we're going to talk more about like struggles and like what's happened throughout the faith journey. But yeah, that would be like the time I can remember that it was like fully all in.
I'm sort of similar to Iron Fit. I have just always say sweet and wholesome. I'm sort of similar to Iron Fit in terms of like my family. Well, my parents have like grew up Christian. Well, they didn't grow up Christian, but they raised me and my sister Christian. And I feel like, according to them, so I went to a little Christian school when I lived in Atlanta when I was a kid. And according to them, I told my like first grade teacher, Miss Mona, who that first grade is year two. So I told my year two teacher, Miss Mona, I'd been like to church, as I emphasized, like my whole life as a baby. Like the church my family goes to now in Atlanta is the church I've been at since I was like 18 months old. But I told my teacher, like, oh, I want Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. I don't know, like, that didn't come from my year two mouth. Like, but allegedly, that's how the story goes. And I have, like, I have a slight memory of that. So, yeah, I think from when I was, like, quite young, I had, like, an understanding of, like, Christ and religion. And it was, like, believing in God just and Jesus just made sense. Like, that's just what it was. Mm. But I think, if I think of a defining moment, like, when I was, like, this is a faith I want to follow on my own. I think they're not very, to me, there's not one definitive memory that I have. I have like random memories of like doing things or like praying for things and like God answering them. I remember one time, this is going to sound like so ghetto, but one time my mom used to tell me that she didn't have an alarm because God would just wake her up on time. And I was like, that's so interesting. Interesting. So I remember once I was like 10 years old and I was like, I'm gonna try this out, mate. I want to see if God can be my alarm clock. And I was like sleeping, of course I was, and I was like, before I went to bed, I was like, God, please wake me up at 8 a.m. and I was like, okay, like that's a good time, like not too much, not too like early. I was like, okay, God can really come through for me. And I kid you not, you know when you just wake up, like that's how I woke up and I looked at the clock and it was 8 a.m and I was like, that was one of the moments for me. And I was like, that's it. That's it for me.
Yeah, that's period. That's period.
Like that's, and just like random things like that. Like, as I said, you know, like decision, I'll be like, something's telling me to do something and then I do it and like everything just makes sense. Mm. Or, you know, just praying and like even random things. I think my first ever job when I was 16, I was looking at Build-A-Bear workshop, and I had a terrible headache, mate. I hate that job, mate. I had a terrible headache. I had a terrible headache. I was at work and I was like, oh my goodness, this is so bad. And I was like, God, please heal my headache, because I didn't have paracetamol or anything. And after I said that prayer, I was fine. And like, I don't take paracetamol for like headaches that much because of that, because I'm like, if God can heal me in this aspect of my life, and I know healing can be sort of a touchy subject, and like, why won't I believe him to do so, or believe in him to do so? So yeah, that's it, been it for me. I've had lots of up and down moments, like between when I was like 11 and 14. There's a point where I was just like, yeah, I believe in God and I go to church and do a lot of that, but I was just sort of wilding. But yeah, that's just it, been it for me, just realizing that like, it's not just my parents' faith. I think my parents always taught that to me, like, our faith won't sustain you, so you better figure it out on your own, honey. I mean, nicer than that, but yeah, that's it for me.
Oh, that's lovely, lovely. So yeah, my story's a little bit different. I think I've mentioned before, on the podcast, maybe in passing, but my parents didn't really take me to church or anything when I was younger. I mean, they were Christian, like they believed in God, but they weren't, you know, practicing, you would say. And I was basically introduced to church by some family friends. My mum worked with this lady, Auntie Maggie, at the hospital, and she was like, oh, why don't your kids come to church with my kids on Saturday? They can play and like get to know each other and just make more friends. Cause you know, we weren't like really fresh at the time, but like maybe we were just antisocial and we didn't have any like reception friends. So yeah, when I was about 5 or 6 years old, we started going to church. I just kind of liked playing at the time. I didn't really know what was going on, but I was enjoying it, making friends and everything. So we just kept going. This was my brother and I, just going to church by ourselves. When I was maybe in primary school, my brother kind of like fell off going because he was playing semi-pro football. So, and his training was on the same day as church. So I just kind of kept going by myself. But again, like I wasn't really deeping it. Like I was singing songs, but just like at home wasn't really talking about God or Jesus or anything. So I didn't really have much of a conception of what Jesus was or like who God was as a concept. And I think the first defining moment for me in really realizing God was real. And like for me, a moment that I always like harken back to, like something that will make me never doubt God's existence, is when I was like 11 or 12, my dad had lung cancer and it was getting really, really bad. Like it spread to his liver. I remember in the space of 1 week, he went from the general ward to HCU, which is HDU, which is high dependency unit, to ICU, which is intensive care unit. And they were basically like preparing my mom for the worst. I didn't know this until after the fact, but apparently my dad was kind of really weak and he was kind of telling her about all the assets and stuff that he had and telling her where to find them. And like, we really thought he was gonna die. And I remember going to church, someone asked me how my week had been. And like, I just kind of broke down crying because I was like my dad is really, really sick. We don't know what to do. And I think he's gonna die. And the people at church just kind of prayed with me. And I just really felt like a presence or a weight around me. And I kid you not, guys, like I'm not even capping, even slightly. Within the space of a week, he went from ICU back to HDU, back to the normal ward. And the next week he came home. And it's been like 10 years. My dad is completely cancer free. Like it was a miracle. And I just, from that moment, I was like, wow, like there's no way that God can't be real, because there was this situation, I saw no way out. I prayed to a God that I didn't even really know. And look what he did. So from that point, I was like, wow, this God is really something. Like, let me see what this thing is about. And so I just kind of kept going to church, but taking it a bit more seriously. So I was getting involved with the children's days, you know, preaching here and there when I had to, you know, do my little thing.
Yes, girl.
You know, doing my little memory verses, learning my little Bible verses, started reading the Bible and everything. So I was like, yes, I very much like this God that we serve. And then basically I was just going by myself, yada, yada, yada. Was kind of floating the idea of baptism to my parents, but they were still kind of a bit like, we don't want you to make this decision too early when you're like still young and you don't know what it is that you're getting into. So I was like, okay, cool. So there was a time when I was like 15 that we were going through some hellish times as a family. Like things were really not good at all. I'm not going to disclose right now what they were because I don't want to make the person feel uncomfortable, but things were very, very, very mad. And I remember there was one time and my mum in particular, she had just been going through it. And I invited my parents both to this choir service at church in Hull. And there was something about the mood. The Holy Spirit was right there. Like the sun was setting, the light was just coming through the stained glass and the choir was just singing this really moving song. And my mum just like started crying and crying. And I think we were all really feeling it. We all had something to release. And then kind of my parents started going to church. And then I got baptized when I was like 17. And yeah, that was me. There's also a part two to this, but I feel like I'm gonna tell that later when we talk about like the difficulties and stuff, because basically after my baptism things started going downhill rapidly. But we back again.
We better.
But yeah. Period. So yeah, I'll leave that bit for the next question.
Thank you for sharing that with me. Yeah. That is so encouraging. No problem. Our Father God does heal people.
Mm-hmm. So amen. The great physician heals the sick.
Come on, somebody. second question. What's the biggest challenge you faced in your faith journey?
Child.
I gotta think about this.
Iron Faith, do you want to start?
Yeah. My biggest challenge, I don't know how to phrase it, but maybe complacency. I think after you've been in the church for so long, and after a while I was like, I know all these songs, Bible passages, like I've heard it 1,000 times before. I've heard this sermon by 3 different pastors, you know. But yeah, and it's quite easy to like just go about your day. Like before, you used to be like, good morning, God. Because that's how I used to wake up. Like, I was just like, good morning, God. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Jesus. And then I'll start my day. But after a while, it became like, just, it's not part of your day anymore. Like, I used to open my Bible, read, pray, have like dedicated time. And then, like, especially during GCSE and A-level times, I kind of like stopped doing that as frequently because I felt like I was kind of in a rush, but I wasn't in a rush to go anywhere. Like, life will still happen. Like, that hour that of prayer and reading the Bible wouldn't stop me from getting a grade or wouldn't, like, take anything away from me. It was just, like, complacency and not giving God the respect he deserves and not taking time out. It's not, like, an immediate fix. And I still have to work on it personally because I still have to make sure that I take the time out to like talk to God, especially in uni. I think uni was probably the biggest shift. When I started uni, I knew that I was definitely going to go to church. Like, uni started on a Saturday, I was in church on the Sunday and it was fine. But it's just during the week bits that I don't want to be like a Sunday Christian, as my parents like to say. I just read your Bible on the Sunday, pray on the Sunday, and then everything else. Not like you're doing madness, but you just don't talk to God. And imagine you only talk to a friend once a week. And you go back and you still expect you guys to be best friends. It's kind of like, even though God will never leave you, but yeah. That was the, uni was kind of the shift where I had to be more intentional. And I still have to be more intentional. I still haven't fixed it properly. But it's a journey. And I think something that really helped was encouragement from friends, like on this podcast, and as well as that, going to a church that was very supportive in spiritual growth as well. We had midweek collectives, which are like small group teachings where we pray together, encourage each other. And I was also part of the Christian Union and in college. And I think talking to people from who went to different churches, who from like vastly different backgrounds, like some of my closer friends I met from Christian Union, and if I met them somewhere else, I don't think we'll be friends because they're so different. But yeah, like when you have people who are always there to encourage you and who always remind you of the love of God, and you can evidently see the love of God and how God works in people's lives. And just like hearing other people's testimonies and just how they relate to God, it gives you a new perspective on things that may seem mundane or like you get too used to. Yeah.
Yeah. And
that was a struggle.
I think that's something like all Christians struggle with. So thank you for highlighting that, because I think that will be a big comfort even for a lot of people to hear, like, it's normal, but just have to keep going, you know. For me, I don't even know how to phrase this. My biggest struggle, I guess temptation, lukewarmness, not knowing where I stand on certain things. Ciao. I had this idea that when I got baptized, that would be like, wow, oh my gosh. Like, life would just be this fresh, new, rosy thing. And I think it's actually kind of in a way the opposite, because I think when you really make that commitment to God, that's when the enemy starts working overtime. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so for me, after I got baptized, it was a time I was, you know, going into sixth form and everything. And I think just when it comes to the regular stuff, like partying and that kind of thing, I just didn't, I mean, I was weak. I was, you know, just doing a lot of things, basically. I've never been like wild, like I haven't really had like a wild phase or anything like that, but just I wasn't really probably acting in a way that I knew to be reflecting a Christ-like character. And that kind of carried on as I came into uni. I think it's difficult when you go to a new place, you're not at home with the same congregation, and you haven't really got a firm grounding on certain things. And so I was definitely doing like the drinking, the partying, that kind of thing. And I guess like drinking and partying, like that's another issue we'll discuss at a different time. And I'm not saying that these things are black and white, but for me, there was definitely part of me that knew I wasn't acting in a way that I should have been acting. And with that, there aren't many Adventists at uni, hardly any at all. And so I felt like I didn't really have that, you know, like a lot of people that could guide me and be encouraging me to go to church and stuff like that. Yeah, the community. So I was kind of a little bit wayward, especially my first year. I had been to the SDA church a couple of times, but I didn't really feel like I fit in. Like, I didn't really make an effort to talk to people. I'll just go for the service and bounce straight after. Like, no one even knew my name. So yeah, that was that. And so I got to the end of first year. And first year summer, I just started feeling very, very emotional. Like, I was just really going through it and I couldn't really put a finger on why. I think I just felt very lost, very confused, very, like, I don't know, just uncomfortable with the way I was and just not really feeling belonging and that kind of thing. And I realized that the hole I was feeling in my life could only be filled by God, but I didn't even know how to approach God. Like, deep that I had been out of church and doing like madness for so long that I was like, how do I even approach God again? And just kind of, I remember there was one night and I was just on Twitter and I was just like, yo, what do I even do? And so I actually reached out to these ladies, Ion Faye and Mary Hannah, because I had just kind of like, we didn't really know each other that well in first year, right? Kind of, I knew of you guys, and I knew Mary Hannah was the girl with the cute accent, and I knew Ion Faye from her Insta, because I thought she was so pretty before I started as well, because I'd seen her account. But they just had this energy, like this, like, if you guys ever meet these girls in real life, they just have this like presence, which obviously I know it was like the Holy Spirit working overtime, you know, just shining and whatever.
You're gonna say chaotic. But I was just like,
that comes after. That's the layer beneath. And like, you know what it is, now looking back on it, I liken it to a different light I had seen in people. Like, I mentioned that my dad had cancer when I was like 11. And one other thing that really touched me about my church is that the people from my church, even though they didn't know him at all, would go and visit him like every week in his hospital bed. They would bring him like the Financial Times, because that's what he likes to read. They would bring him his favorite snacks. And they just had this kindness that was just different. And so I think I must have likened it to that, and I must have seen that same light. And so I just sent them a DM and I was like, guys, I don't even remember what I said. I must have just been like, I'm feeling really down and stuff. Like, I want to talk about Jesus, something along those lines. So then we made a WhatsApp group chat and we had a call, and I just kind of vented to them about how I was feeling, and I cried and we prayed and all that kind of thing. And after that, I just felt so refreshed, and it really clarified a lot of things for me and kind of made me realize, like, this is the life that I want to live. And it just put into perspective how, like, even after all that, God hasn't given up on me. Like, he's still using people to touch my life. And so I think for me, that was like my second realization of who Christ was for myself, and not even just maybe how I understood God to be in the first instance of God who just does stuff for you, right? He healed my dad and he helped my family situation. But now it was like a God who had done the ultimate thing for me, which was sending Jesus to die. And I really began to understand, the concept of grace and what that meant for me. And just something really shifted from then. I started going to church a lot more. And like, I've met some really lovely people in Cambridge SDA Church. Shout out to Uncle Amos. Shout out to Uncle Amos, who are just really teaching me new things about Christ every day. So, but lukewarmness and temptation and stuff are still a struggle. I'm not going to lie to you, but I think with every season, again, Christianese, every time period, I kind of understand more about myself and more about God, and these decisions get easier to make every time, you know? So we just pray for growth and to continue to be on that same trajectory, because I really just do feel a different level of peace now than I used to. So yeah, That was really long and waffly. I'm sorry, y'all, but...
Oh, no, that was perfect.
How about you, MH?
I was thinking, as you guys were speaking, and I think, for me, the sort of overarching challenge I think I faced the entirety of my, I guess, maybe young adult life or, like, Christian life is probably trust. When my family's, like, moving back and forth between Atlanta and the UK... We've done it like twice, three times. To be honest, even these days, I don't remember. But, you know, when you just feel like, especially when I was like prepubescent Mary Hannah, so like 11, 12-ish age, when it's like, oh, you've just made friends, you're just finding your feet, or you like have an idea of what you want the next couple of years to look like, even when if it's just like, I'm going to go to the high school, like across the street, or I'm going to go to like homecoming and prom and like those sort of stuff. And having all of that change, it's sort of like, yeah, I know God is good and things will work out, but, you know, trusting that things will work out because you serve a good God, not just because things work out for people, you know, what's the worst that can happen, you know. Not just with my family's transitions, but just with, like, various things that go on in one's life, from, like, money and things. Like, my parents are, as you heard my dad say, they're just very much, like, they like to parent, so they're very much like, what can we do for our kids, and da-da-da-da-da, which is really nice, and, like, that's how parents, you know, should be or can be, but sometimes it's easy for my parents to be my safety blanket opposed to, like, God being my safety blanket. So, like, realizing that, like, you know, there are things that God can do for me, and God does want me to trust him with things and not just run to whoever may seem to have the solution, like, easily. And so that's something that I'm learning. I mean, that's also a crucial part of adulthood, not just going to mum and dad for everything. But yeah, just learning to trust God and not just be like, well, I can do it on my own then because I'm an adult, but actually know that, you know, I've got a father, a friend, a savior that, you know, I can trust in. I think also, even just with 2020, like, guys, I think most of you would know, like, if you're listening, I studied French, Spanish, and Catalan. I was meant to be on my year abroad literally, like, now. Like, it's September tomorrow at the point that we're recording this. So it's meant to be in Barcelona. Now, and a year ago, I was in Barcelona with one of my best mates, and I was like, wow, I'm going to be here, and it's going to be so much fun. And now I'm in Atlanta, which, I mean, is not the worst place I could be, but it's just not Barcelona, do you know what I mean? And so even when that happened, beginning of the year, I was like, oh, March and April was so tumultuous for me, like, for my emotional and spiritual, even mental well-being. It was just a mess, really. It was just honestly a mess, because I was like, my life is full. Yeah, I'm a drama queen. And I was like, my life, all of this, after my degree is a waste of time. I can't even go on my year abroad. I'm going to change my degree. I'm emailing my tutor. I was like, this is awful. And just being able to trust God, like, I was like, calm down, for real. So just being able to trust God with, like, even the things that go so wrong in our lives has just been something so crucial to me. And trusting God with people, just trusting God in various ways, you know. Learning to trust him and, you know, trusting that he's enough for me. Because I think sometimes it's like, you know, okay, I can trust God's hand. Like, God is going to do something. But I think even maybe when Winnie mentioned, or it could have been I Am For either today or one of our previous recordings, you know, what does it mean to really trust God's heart? And that's something I've been learning, I guess, through this COVID-19 quarantine period. Because for us, it's like, well, what is God doing? Like, nothing has really changed. Like, we're just sort of getting on with our lives. Like, glory, hallelujah, right. Like, we haven't passed away, and I don't believe either of us, and any of us have, like, close relatives who passed away from the virus. But still, it's just sort of like, you know, God, like, so where are you? And just trusting that God is enough with, like, relational stuff, trusting that God is enough with friends, trusting that God is enough. You know, just trusting him. That's just really what's been the biggest thing for me. And I think in the life of, like, every Christian, trust is a continuous thing, because, you know, I'm trusting God with my year abroad right now. And so in a year's time, by the grace of God, when I've been to Barcelona and had a great time, there's going to be something new to trust God with, my fourth year. And after that, it's going to be my job. And after that, it's going to be, I don't know, buying a house or a car. Or after that, it's going to be, where do I want to actually get settled and maybe get married, and so many different things to consider. So there's always, you're always going to have to trust God, and it's going to be with various things which have, you know, varying degrees of importance or impact or, you know, whatever it may be. So I think it's a lifelong thing, as we've all mentioned. But yeah, that's been my biggest challenge. But God in his graciousness. Is that the right word? Graciousness?
Mm-hmm.
God in his grace. Yeah. Whatever the word is, has always proven himself to be faithful. Cece Wine is my favorite artist ever. She got a new single coming out on the 4th. I'm so excited. she's got a song from her latest album, Let Them Fall in Love, and it says, God has never failed me yet. And that's just like the chorus. And it's just so true. Like, God has never failed anybody. And I don't know who said it. And he's like, he won't start with you. So, you know, just trusting that God's got it. It is something that I not necessarily struggle with, but something that I always have to like come to terms with or regularly come to terms with. But that's it for me.
Yeah. That was so encouraging.
Yeah, it was. Okay. It was.
We're going to switch the mood up a little bit. We're going to talk about what are you guys' favorite memory of either being a Christian or being in church, or just like things that you look back on that like make you smile. I already have one.
Do you want to go first? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I have loads, but I'll say my most recent one was actually with Mary Hannah. During first year, we went to a like worship night. It was called November Burn. I remember it was really late at night, so we just came from gospel choir, and we were trying to find this church, and we were like, we're going to be here for like 30 minutes, 40 minutes max, and we were there for 2.5 hours.
Wow.
It was just like a night of worship and prayer, very spontaneous, and it was so calming. It was like a breath of fresh air. And it was like that moment I felt out of Cambridge. I just felt in like a different space. And like when the Spirit of God is like, you can feel it properly. Like the songs were amazing. The people ministering were amazing. But just like when you feel like saturated with God's presence, that's the only way I could describe it. But yeah, it was really beautiful.
Wow. Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I got one. I think this is a thing that would happen every year. So when I'm in the UK, my home church is Hillsong, and every year they have a conference in the summer in the O2, and it's like always fun. Like I've been at Hillsong since I was a kid, and like it's always been fun, like going and being part of like the youth stuff, and it's all like jumpy and it's fun, and you're like running around the O2 and it's cute and it's just like fun. It's a good way to start your summer. But I think just the actual, I guess maybe not the actual Hillsong conference itself, but as sort of along the lines of what I mentioned, the whole idea of like corporate worship, I think just being in a moment of like everybody, we've come from wherever in the world, in the nation, and we've come to this point, whether it's a conference or anything online, and we're all just like putting whatever is going on in our lives, like, before the Lord, like, God, you need to help us come fix this because it's too much. And even if we're going through like global things, like, you know, when it was the midst of the terrorist attacks of like going back to back in like 2017, 2018, like that was just such a, I think, a really, really depressing time for like the UK as a nation and for the world, you know, just seeing people's lives lost so regularly to like just senseless acts of violence. It was just overwhelming. And just being able to be with like 20,000 other people who you don't know by name and who you probably never meet, but just being able to be there and just worship, I just think that that's like the best thing ever. And just to think that you can have that on earth, but it can't even compare to what heaven would be like, that just blows my mind. Like, I can even cry something about it. Like, sometimes...
No, I'm holding it back right now.
Like, you just think, like, I can just feel it now. Like, obviously, conference was canceled this year because of the virus, and I wouldn't have even been able to make it, I don't think. But it's like, you just look, like you can just open your eyes and you just look around and you're just like, wow, there are 20,000 people in here who have their own stories. Like me, it's uni. Some people are fighting cancer or a divorce or a loss of family. And, you know, they're just all here worshiping a God that has never failed them. And that's just, it's mind-blowing to me. And just as Ayanfa said, like the tangible presence of God, I mean, God's presence follows his children wherever. That's the gift of the Holy Spirit. But when you're very much aware and cognizant of the Holy Spirit, I think that's just, it's an incredible place to be. And so, yeah, I really value corporate worship, corporate prayer, corporate praise. I think there's just such a power in it. And it's sort of like, it like gives you a glimpse of heaven. I feel like that's what we are trying to finna be these days. Like, too the much. Earth is a little too much.
Yeah. But get me out of here.
ASAP.
I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here.
Get me out of here,
Oh, for real. Yeah, mine's kind of similar to the girls again. An act of corporate worship. And it's just kind of like reminding me like how much I miss being able to go to church. Because like I think that the church globally has done really well with Zooming and everything. But nothing is quite like being in a room full of even just tens of people. Mm. But then imagine hundreds or thousands of people worshiping together. Like it's just different.
Mm.
For me, if there's any Adventists listening, you will know all about Pathfinders. They're basically like brownie scouts or like guides or something. I was never part of it because there weren't many children in our church. Mm. So I never got that experience. But each year they have like the Jamboree, which is like their annual conference. So I went there last summer with my good friend Samuel. We drove to this like arena in Hull. And I kid you not, like, the church I grew up in was very small, and the church in Cambridge is very small. And because, like, I didn't grow up in church with my parents and stuff, I would never really go to, like, youth days and stuff, because it was just, like, go to church, come home at this time. And I walked into this arena, and I looked back, as far as my eyes could even see, the room was just filled with people just worshipping, and I have honestly never experienced anything like it before. It was so just, I would call it like a numinous experience. Like, it was just so crazy, and I wish I was there right now. I'm not gonna lie to you, like, this is the ghetto right now. I wish I was there. But they had a lot of different things, just singing and preaching, and it was the first time I'd actually been into church in a while, and like, imagine that being like my reintroduction. And it was just so beautiful, and also because I just feel like at the time I was in my life, the thing I was going through at that time, I feel like it was the Lord's way of being like, you know, welcome home, you know, like, this is your home, like, I'm with you.
Yeah.
And like MH said, whenever I'm around a lot of other Christians just worshiping and stuff, like, there's just this peace. Like, whatever is going on in your life, like, for that moment, everything is okay, and you're reminded that everything's going to be okay. And it just really makes me think, like, heaven is going to be so sweet, like, just so, so sweet. So I cherish those moments a lot. And yeah, hopefully the world is normal enough by next year that we can reload the Pathfinder Jamboree. But yeah. Who knows?
Period, though.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Aww. Guys, I literally feel like I want to cry. Like, at times like this, I honestly just reflect on how much God has brought me through.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, even just sharing my personal testimony, just like, from it's so crazy to me now that my dad was even sick to that point, or that my family was ever going through these things, and like, here I am. I think it's easy to just let life pass you by, and you go through the motions, and you forget like how deep it is that you're still here, and that everything is okay in the midst of everything that's going on, especially in this year. And just praise God, you know.
Yeah,
like, I feel so blessed.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think what Winnie said is so true. Like, it's so easy to think of like life is just passing you by. I think with quarantine, like, all the days have blended into one somehow month, year. Like,
honestly.
That's just what it is.
Honestly.
And, you know, it can just be so like, not even nonchalant, you just become so passive to what's going on. And as I said, like, for me, because we live in like, I guess, relatively privileged countries, it's like, you know, there's healthcare. What could go wrong? You know, I'm in school. But there's only so much that can go wrong. You know, like, they set up the right social structures for things to be, like, okay if people do their job. But, like, God doesn't want an okay life for us. You know, he wants a great one. He wants a good one. He wants a blessed one. And that doesn't mean we'll be free of drama and of hardship, of course. But I think the message that we're trying to relay, and we believe the message of the gospel, is that, you know, no, come what may, God's got your back, essentially. And yeah, as Ian first said, like, God always will love you, but as it works with any relationship, like, to reap the full benefits, you got to put in time. Benefits isn't the right word, but I guess to reap the full blessings, mm-hmm. you got to put in the time. And it's not just what you get from God, but, you know, it's like any relationship, really. It's not what they're necessarily going to buy or give you or, you know, do for you. It's just the privilege of knowing someone and knowing mm-hmm. someone well, yeah. and them having your best interest at heart. So I guess, yeah, that's like my parting message, because I guess, yeah, this is our season finale. So that's like my parting message, y'all. Like, God's got your back for the rest of 2020. If you never prayed before, let me tell you something. You may not believe in prayer, but we do, and God is still listening. Yeah. So if you never prayed before, get your prayer up this year. It'll change your life. It really will. If you give God a chance.
Even if you don't say, "Dear Lord, yada, yada, yada," just speak out. Yeah. Like, there's this song I really like. I've even forgotten it. But, like, there's, like, you know how gospel singers, they like to just talk in the middle. They start preaching. And then the guy just goes, even if you just say,
I know that even song. Even that. Oh,
you know the one? It's like, even if you just scream out
into
the heavens, God hears, God sees, God understands. Yes.
Of course it'd be Ty.
And then Tasha Cobbs Leonard references it in another one of her songs as well. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, I guess my parting message just kind of echoes Mary Hannah's, that honestly, just give God a try. Mm. And I think a lot of times people think, oh, Christians just want other people to become Christians for the sake of it, or yada, 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 to push their agenda. But genuinely, as someone who has kind of like been in the church, been out the church, I can't tell you the peace that I feel when I'm with Christ and when I feel really close to him. Like, so many things which I worry about, whether it's the way I look, whether it's what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen after I die, like, these things, like, they all just melt away. And honestly, like, especially to the people I love that might be listening, it's a thing where I feel like God's presence in my life has just done so many things for me. And it's a thing where I just want him to do the same for you. And, you know, I wish you could honestly feel what I feel in my heart right now, because I can't even articulate into words the kind of goodness that it is. But I just love you all, basically. I just love you all.
Yeah.
That's my parting message.
And if you guys have any questions or just things that you want to talk through with us, like, all our DMs are always open. You can do the anonymous message on our Google form as well. So we're always happy.
We're always happy to talk with you, even pray with you.
Yeah, period. You know? Definitely, we can do that. But yeah, guys, that is Let God Podcast Season 1 finished.
Boop, boop.
Ooh. Woo. Period. Okay. You know what's so funny? Yesterday, my sister, because obviously we're on like EST, so Eastern Coast time, so like most of our audience, I presume, will not be awake when I'm awake. So my sister was on JT's live, like JT from the City Girls, and they were requesting her to play Mary Mary, and she played God in Me, and she's like, it's a God in me.
It's a God in me.
And I just couldn't stop laughing. Oh,
which
Lord.
City Girls are those? City of Zion?
City of Miami? City of LA. But yeah, it was really, really good. It was good. So yeah, guys, that's us for Season 1. Thank you so much for listening. Everybody who's ever retweeted, shared, text us, all friends who have sent us sweet messages that you're listening to it. We love you guys.
We love you.
It means so much.
Yeah, we thank you so guys. Much. And yeah, so as Anfa said, please keep up with us on our socials at Let God Podcast. What else? Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Oh, yeah. So as this is our season finale, we're going to be on a hiatus for a while. You know, uni's going back. The girls need to focus and do what's before them. And we also just need a break and just sort of figure out what we're doing.
Re-energize.
And we're giving you time to re-listen to all of them.
We need to stream.
So y'all who've been missing a week, this is your time. You got 10 weeks of episodes to watch.
You can catch up.
Excuse me. Yeah, definitely.
We'll be doing a quiz when we get back.
A pop quiz.
But we might do one or two lives, I think we said, in this our hiatus period. So look out on Instagram for that, or maybe on Twitter as well. That's it from us, guys. Thank you so much for listening. All the love in the world to y'all. Have a blessed academic year if we don't speak to you before then.
Bye.
Yeah.
Bye. Bye. As soon as